Sci-fi party line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat. I have special guests with me today, Anthony from last week.
Hello.
All right. Hanako returns.
Hi.
And guess I have my special friend back from Australia, Lynn Griffin.
G'day, beautiful people.
All right. She brought it back. Look at her. I want to talk to, I brought Lynn in because she had, back when we used to do another podcast, she had like the ultimate prediction or complaint, I guess, about Supernatural, that she was so sick of demons. She wanted to see angels. She wanted to see, you know, how could the world exist with demons without, you know, angels as well. And she really wanted to see that for Supernatural. Now that they have it, Lynn, I mean, how did you feel when they brought that in?
I actually really enjoyed it. The first couple of episodes when they brought Cassiel in.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't keen on they having to have a human vessel. I wasn't keen on that aspect. I would like to see a deity with fluffy wings and a halo and all that jazz.
Well, who's going to play these things? They're going to animate them or something? Or I mean, that would have been lame.
Special effects. Special effects. Like, if they can do werewolves and all these other mythical creatures they have on Supernatural, surely they can do angels.
Oh, the demons were human.
Well, everyone knows that, you know, humans are inherently evil, so that was quite...
Oh, my goodness.
No, but I must admit, I was very disappointed in the betrayal of Lucifer. I wanted to see horns and red skin and glowing eyes, and we got another vessel.
Yeah, but he's an evil vessel. He was the drunken husband on Dexter. He's always a good. Hanako, what about,
yes.
You said all of the fans had wanted angels on this show.
I won't say all of the fans. I have a small collective of Supernatural fans that I consistently talk to. And these are young ladies that I met at one of the Supernatural conventions last year. And two of them actually run one of the big fan sites.
Oh.
So we've all been talking back and forth for the last year. We've actually, for the last two seasons, we watch the show at the same time. And we're either on Yahoo chat or now we're on Twitter during the show.
What's the URL for that show? I mean, for that site.
It's www.supportsupernatural.com.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Lindsay and Heather, awesome, awesome girls. And they run a really great website. But the discussion has always come up with us from the beginning of season four when Dean came back from hell that eventually the brothers were gonna have to go against each other. And when it didn't happen at the end of last season, we were kind of like, okay, were we reading the signs wrong? Was there something that we looked into too much? And then last night just kind of confirmed everything for us. You know, it's not necessarily Dean and Sam against each other, but they will, in a sense, have to go against each other if, you know, these angels take possession of their bodies.
Oh,
so it's been weird just kind of seeing all of this stuff come into play.
I hear you. Man, Anthony, what are you thinking about Supernatural? Bunch of hot guys walking around. I didn't think this was a guy show.
Well, pretty much. It started out, I think.
They're killing things, though.
Okay. I guess guys can get into that.
And when I first started watching it, I was watching it because the whole thing about them investigating urban legends was what interested in me. And that's why I ended up watching pretty much the whole first season. And for some reason, I stopped watching it. And when I checked back in on it, they were doing demons. And I said, well, I watched Charmed. I don't want to watch more demons again. I was like, Charmed with guys.
You're admitting to the world that you watched Charmed. Boy.
I watched Charmed. Charmed is very good the first three or four seasons.
What'd you say, Lynn?
I watched it for the girls.
Well, they had nice clothes.
For the girls.
They had
my
nice
husband
clothes.
Died.
Yeah. But, I mean, I've always been a fan of angels fighting demons. I love the prophecy movies. There's a movie called Gabriel. All those things I like. And so I'd say, well, you know what, let me start watching it again since they're sort of going down that path. So that's why I started picking it back up. And it's been pretty good so far.
I like you point out that they used to hunt urban legends because they really haven't done that in a while.
I don't think they've done it since the first season, have they, Hanukkah?
They do it intermittently. They have the big story arc, but every once in a while, like in the middle of the season, to kind of throw things, I won't say throw things off, but just to kind of break up the storyline, they'll throw an episode here and an episode there that can be kind of a standalone episode, and usually those episodes will deal with other urban legends.
Mm. So Lynn... Oh, okay.
It makes you think maybe they should have a third fraction in there, perhaps Mother Nature, because you've got your devils and you've got your got your angels. Why not? All those mythical creatures are sort of Mother Nature, aren't they? Supernatural Mother Nature. Why not have another fraction?
Nah, it'll be like Charmed again. That's what that sounds like.
So you're trying to say angels, demons, and maybe humans with powers?
That's more heroes.
Oh, Lord, let's not talk about heroes. Let's just not talk about it. So, Lynn, what do you think about the Sam being the vessel for the devil? Do you like that? Does it bore you?
Disappointed, but obviously we could see it coming from a mile away. He's going to be the... I didn't see he was going to be Lucifer's vessel, but I thought he'd be taken over again because they're throwing the blood in his face and doing the withdrawal thing. So obviously Sam was going to be some involvement against his brother, but I didn't see Lucifer coming.
Yeah. I just don't know if Sam, well, the actor, could pull off evil.
He's too whiny.
I don't know. I think he can do it.
You do?
I do.
What makes you think? Because I don't know. He does. He is too whiny. He's always sensitive and blah. And I'm like, dude.
No, and that's the thing. If you really pay attention to his character, if you really pay attention to his character over the last season, Sam and Dean kind of switched roles because towards the beginning of the season, Dean was the badass. He was the one that was, you know, hardcore, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. And Sam was the one who was more empathetic towards people. And then kind of last year, maybe somewhere towards the middle of season three, once Sam realized kind of what his destiny was going to be, he kind of changed a little bit. And then last season, I think we saw a complete role reversal because Dean came back from hell a little more compassionate towards people and wanting to help people more, where Sam was more, no, we've got to get this done. We have a job to do. And by any means necessary. I mean, his drinking.
Yeah, but serving time in hell will do that to a person.
How do you know?
Yeah.
Even last episode.
Sam got pretty, he was pretty dark last season.
Yeah, when he was killing the demons and drinking their blood and stuff.
Yeah, and he was just, just some of the things he even said to the people they were helping, he basically took Dean's approach. Okay, you know what, you need to cut this off. You can't have contact with these, you can't ever come back here ever. You need to cut all ties with people. I mean, he just got a little bit, it was just weird to see at first.
Yeah, but even last episode he went back to his natural whininess. Like, he wouldn't let the girl die because of the knife in the last episode. It's, oh, I must protect the girl in the bar. And Dean was very corruptible, trying to take Cassiel to a hooker.
So, yes. That was great.
Still following that.
And I I think in some ways, for me at least, the way that I look at it is Sam is trying to get back to where he used to be because he knows his changing and his getting harder, you know, for lack of better words, you know, just his personality change over the last year ultimately led to the apocalypse. You know, he wanted to be hard-nosed. He wanted to do this. He didn't want to listen to people. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to prove to Dean that, yes, I can do this. And it ended up backfiring on him. So I think his thing was, okay, when I try to go against my nature or who I am, this is what happened. Maybe I need to kind of take a step back. And I think that's kind of what's going on with him now.
Well, he's I'm sorry. When he, you know, he's all trying to backtrack and whine and all this stuff. And, you know, even when they do mention the apocalypse, I just don't feel it's that apocalyptic. I'm just not getting the urgency of the apocalypse. I get angels coming around, talking crap, popping in, doing this,
but
that.
You have to think, this is still only the third episode.
Yeah, we've got a bit more to go. We've got to drag it on.
If you ever look at Revelation, there's a lot of things that's got to happen before the apocalypse.
Thank you, Anthony. Go ahead, break out the good book, bruh.
it's true. There are a lot of things that have to happen before, you know, the apocalypse comes. So
how long does the damn thing take? Bring it on. I mean,
well, here's the thing. Supernatural is generally between 22 and 26 episodes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they've still got 18, 19, maybe 20 more episodes to film.
So we've already done the Four Horsemen. What else is next? Who knows? Who reads the Bible and knows those?
I actually don't know. I have been staying away from all spoilers.
So you consider the Bible a spoiler?
No. I'm talking about as far as what's going on with the show.
Oh, okay.
But no, I'm not religious, so that kind of information is not really
forefront.
I have a little bit of knowledge about it, but no, it's not, you know.
We won't go into it, but yeah, there's some stuff that has to happen. Like, you know, there's some seals that have to be broken.
I thought we did all that with Ruby.
Yeah, they broke all the seals.
They broke all the seals.
He's out.
That's how Lucifer got out. And see, this is what happens when you miss a season.
That was last season.
Wait a second, yeah, Anthony. Lucifer, you on this podcast and you missed a season?
Sam set him free the last 5 minutes of last season. Lucifer was freed. Yeah, gotta go catch up.
I saw that.
And what in the preview?
It's about...
Go ahead, Lynn.
I was going to say, what's this about God's dead?
They was just listening to Nine Inch Nails and trying to be all depressed and stuff. They didn't mean that. Well, what about Ruby, Lynn? Did you see her evilness coming?
Yes, in the end. She was totally using Sam.
Did you see it coming, or did you think she was helping?
Obviously. Her inherent nature is a demon. Who trusts a demon?
Well, you know, they could be like Spike from Buffy.
Or Cole. I'm charmed.
Yeah.
Well, people just love that. They love a bad person being good. But I think in the Supernatural universe, all the demons are sort of like, they're there for a reason. They became a demon for a reason. They weren't like cursed, like Spike was cursed with vampirism. They were there for their sins, obviously, what they did when they were human.
Okay. Bummer.
Yeah, I don't know. We had a few movies, didn't we? We had two or three.
What, bad demons?
Characters that played Ruby.
Yeah.
There were two.
Two. A blonde and a brunette.
Mm-hmm. Katie Cassidy was the first one, and Jean-Vive Cortez was the second one.
What about Meg? Because Meg came back for a second and left. Who was Meg? I forgot who Meg was.
Meg was from... Oh, now I've got to rack my brain. She was from season two, if I'm not mistaken. She was a little blonde chick that was possessed by a demon, and they killed her once by throwing her out of a window. And she came back, and they exorcised her.
In the warehouse? Was that the warehouse?
Yes, it was in a warehouse.
Okay, yes. The one with the short hair, and she wore the cool leather jacket. Okay, wow.
And then she's come back at least once every season, if I'm not mistaken. She was also in the she was in an episode last season where Dean and Sam and Bobby were all actually most of the hunters were being quote unquote hunted by people they had killed.
That and one. Meg was, yes.
Yeah, Meg was one of the people that came back to hunt Dean and Sam.
Yes. Okay.
Excuse me. Okay. So yeah, she's been causing some problems for a while.
Okay. All right.
She's a demon that never dies.
Okay. Well, all right. I have a question now. I mean, I know we've been seeing the whole, they've been building up to Sam and Dean having to fight. Somebody's going to have to hurt some. Do we think one of the brothers is going to have to actually kill one of the brothers? You think somebody's going to die for real here? Anyone?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I think they'll find each other and they'll turn at the end. He'll turn Sam around.
See, that's why I'm just, the whole apocalypse and the whole Sam and Dean having to fight each other just feels a little empty to me because you know no one's going to die.
I don't know. I can honestly say, having been a fan for years now, it would not be surprising to me if Kripke left us with a cliffhanger and ended it that way. Like, maybe Dean has to hurt Sam to get the devil out, and then they leave out without us knowing whether or not Sam lives or dies. I can totally see that happening.
Like the end of Angel.
Or they do something annoying and do a big reset or something.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, the few times since, you know, I started watching or have watched in the past, it never seems to be anything good happening on the show. Like, it never seems to be anything that ends with a good or a happy revelation. Everything seems to get worse, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse. Sort of like Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, Lord, Anthony, you hate me, don't you? You hate me. Why are you bringing up Battlestar Galactica, man?
And then I can really envisioning a scenario where, okay, we find God makes everything better, and all of a sudden everything is happy and nice again.
Oh, who's God? Who do we think God is going to be? The devil is a person, rather. Excuse me. So who do we think? We think God is going to be a fluffy CGI thing.
A female. That's all I got to say. I'm sick of all
as
the angels.
As long as it's not Alanis Morissette, I'm good.
Oh, man. There you go. Nice.
Wouldn't it be surprising if it turns out that their father is the best?
I thought about that. I thought about that because I want to see Daddy Winchester again.
If you think about everything that's happened, it seems like all of this has been set up for it to be that way, that the two of them would be battling, and then their father would come in, you know, as quote-unquote God, to save the day.
Well, because you know the language.
He's down into hell, so I don't see how that.
Remember, he was released. When all the demons were released, he was released along with them. And then he disappeared. How?
Yes.
But he did come up from hell. Yeah. Well, he
could've... Yeah, but it was still only his soul. It wasn't him as a person. That was his soul.
Right, but I'm talking about him at being a vessel, like, you know, like Sam Dean.
I don't think that can happen because they burned his body. When they buried him, they burned his body.
We are talking about God, aren't we? You know?
What'd you say, Lynn?
They bring everyone back.
Yeah, they sure do. Well, Anthony, the wording that they used in this last episode about father being absentee, looking for your father, you know, Dean, when he was talking about his particular dad, and he was talking to Castiel about his, you know, quote-unquote dad, God, being absent. It sound like, to me, I get what you're saying, how you think that Daddy Winchester might be God in the end, which I would very much like.
That does kind of make sense.
It does, because if you think about it, it will complete the circle of the show. Because remember when the show first started, one of the main things was them looking for their father. Then he may not be dead. Let's go see if we can find him.
That would be beautiful. Yeah. I think I'm playing with that.
And that was when I started, you know, reading about this season and the stuff that's coming up. I said, you know what, this makes perfect sense to me. If it works out that way, then that would make it a complete show. And it would be worth going back and watching the entire thing from beginning to end.
Dude, you got a season to – don't come on my Supernatural show without seeing that season again. I got to tease him. Okay, Lynn, prediction. How many more seasons of Supernatural do we have?
I thought this was the last season.
Is that official, Hanako? Do you know?
I believe if I've heard correctly from a few of my friends, there may be one more, but I think that's a very big maybe.
I think you'd be getting thin on storyline, though, if they have another one.
That is true.
Monster of the Week again.
Oh, yeah. They can't go back. Yeah, I think it'd be cool to wrap that season up. I mean, wrap the whole show up. I'd miss it. Because Dean, you got him playing the lead guitar and doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, that was awesome.
Eye of the Tiger.
Awesome.
Oh, I love that. Okay, well, unless you got anything else to say, any rumors, spoilers, or any, well, not spoilers, but maybe rumors about Supernatural, we're going to wrap Supernatural up. Anyone?
No.
Alrighty. Yay, Supernatural. Okay, now we're going into our True Blood segment.
When you came in the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through,
let's start with Anthony.
What?
You watch True Blood, yes? Because if you don't, you're getting off this phone, boy.
I watch True Blood. I watch it.
Okay.
I watch it. I didn't like it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
But I, after about 3 or 4 episodes, mm-hmm. it really started getting pretty good. You know, and it seems to get better and better. It's almost like the writers have just found their stride and just, you know, going right along with it. And I just really love the characters.
Yeah.
Lafayette is my favorite character.
Oh, yeah, Lafayette.
Yes. Oh, love him,
hey,
love him.
Hey, hooker. No.
He is hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like Eric. I think the actor playing him is really, really good.
Oh, so you got a little man crush on him too, huh?
Wouldn't. Have you seen that dude? God.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but I really like the show. I haven't read the books. I don't know much about the books. I kind of know a little bit to Wikipedia, but you know, I do like the book. I mean, I like it very much.
Okay, cool. Lynn.
Yay.
All right, True Blood. What did you first think of this show, and how did you get pulled in? Did you like it from the beginning, or did you have to, like, catch up?
I loved it from the beginning because I like the whole vampire mythos.
Right.
And I... obviously, because I'm a goth, but anyway.
Obviously.
And I really enjoyed the American twist, the Southern twist. The main protagonist, the character Sookie, does annoy me at times with her short skirts and her bimbo-ish. She's like an older Buffy,
yeah,
but stupider.
And she doesn't have powers.
Yeah. She does have some.
Oh, right, she does now.
And at the end of season 2, she had some white light going out of her hand. Like, I was thinking, oh, my God, she's got metachlorine. Jedi. You know, the mind trick and, the hand. So I enjoy her character and watching it develop. I enjoy seeing the relationships between Eric and his name's just gone from me.
Bill.
The guy... Bill, yes. He looks like a little Tom Cruise, I think.
In an old way.
Yeah, the older Tom Cruise. Isn't Tom Cruise old?
Yeah, well, Bill looks older than Tom Cruise. But I'm
They make him look that way on screen, because when you look at him cleaned up, he does not look that old at all.
He looks
think they kind of make him look a little bit older to kind of, I don't know, kind of play upon the age that he's supposed to be in the show, I think. But, yeah.
He does look
crusty. Good, so I'll get more mileage out of the character, because it always annoyed me that Angel aged.
Well, Well, yeah, he got a little chunky.
He could help that, though.
Yeah, what can you do? What else, Lynn? Are you there?
I'm just really enjoying Eric Northman. I hang out for every scene that he's in. I really enjoy seeing that character.
You know, when his, his maker died, that was a really intense scene for me.
Yeah. And because also he's this really tall Viking guy, and his maker is this little short know-it-all guy.
Yeah, and he's there and he's crying, and it was just a very, very intense scene, only to be back up by him and Sookie in bed. I don't know, that particular episode just really turned me on to Eric.
Oh, yes, that was, and it makes you think, did Bill early on, as Sookie drunk his blood, did Bill enchant Sookie to start off with? That's how she fell in love with him, Bill.
I thought from the last episode that the queen vampire said that Sookie enchanted Bill. Is that what you just said, or did you say Bill enchanted Sookie?
Bill enchanted Sookie because early on she broke a leg and Bill offered his blood to Sookie.
But he drank her too. He drank her too, which is why the queen vampire said that he's in love with her.
And she also told Eric not to drink her blood too.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Well. So there's some back and forth enchantment going on there.
But I think they were stricken with each other when they first saw each other.
Love at first sight, huh? I think it's love at first glamour.
I really want to see the Eric Sookie thing happen and we get rid of Bill.
Yeah, Bill is kind of dry. Hanako, you've been too quiet. I know you've been holding it in, huh?
Yeah, well, because here's the thing. I'm a book reader.
Oh, here we go.
I already know the answers. I already know the answers to most of your questions.
Don't spoil us. We want to enjoy the TV show. This is a different medium, and we want to enjoy. Don't they change it a bit from the books? Yeah.
Oh, it's drastically changed from the books.
Is Lafayette in the books?
He is, but the thing is, in the books, he is, you know, at the beginning of the second season when they find the voodoo woman in the back of Vanderbilt Flora's car.
Yeah.
In the second book, that was actually Lafayette. So, the creator decided that Lafayette and Nelson Ellis's portrayal of him was a little bit too much gold to let go.
They haven't really used him this season. Now I know why, because they don't really have a lot lines for him or anything that they've created in the book. Because he just
Here's the thing, because the way that the books are written, the books are totally from Sookie's point of view. So most of the other stories that you see with the other characters are, for the most part, show-related. I mean, some of the background and everything about certain characters are accurate, you know, if you're following the canon, but there's a lot that's been created for the sake of the show. Like Marianne's, that whole time Marianne was not really what it was in the book. I mean, it turned out okay, you know, good for the show, but after a while I was like, okay, you know what, she's really weird and she's just,
well, but, I think they drug her storyline out too much. Marianne just got on my nerves. I just got tired of it.
Yeah, by the end, you were kind of introduced her to her.
What'd you say, Anthony? Anthony?
I was saying, I think they introduced her too early.
Yeah,
I think that's why I feel like dragged out.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, and see, she's a big part of... she's not even a really big part of the book. She's kind of sporadic in the book. You only hear about her here and there. And there's kind of a mystery, you know, as far as what she wants there. But like in the show, they kind of made it seem like Eric and Bill didn't know what she was and what kind of creature they were dealing with when they did know in the book.
Oh.
So I think to kind of drag the story out a little bit and I guess make it a little more interesting, they played it with that angle. There's a lot of changes that they've done to the show that's not in the books that I love, and then there are some things that I'm just like, oh, why? You know, I was a bit mixed on the season finale.
I was just glad Marianne was done. And I wasn't that upset that Eggs died, because if he was going to whine the whole next season, I did not want to see Grommet.
But she's nice to look at, though.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I have to agree, Lynn. Yes.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I'm just kind of interested to see where they're going to go with season three and how much they're going to veer from the books. Because one of the things that a lot of the book fans that I've, you know, chatted with or looked at different conversations, one of the big things in the books that was prevalent was the fact that vampires are not legally allowed to marry. So that whole scene at the end where Bill proposes to her never happens in the books because it's still illegal. And that kind of the fact that they can't get married to each other is kind of a an underlying precursor to some of the things that happen. Right now, there's 9 books.
How many?
There's 9 right now. She's working on number 10. 10 is being released in May.
My goodness.
Well, yeah. So we've got a lot of seasons coming out.
If they keep it fresh, because I think Marianne lasted too long. The orgies were funny or whatever, but I think they needed a badder big bad. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep kind of in line with the books, it's going to get very interesting. You will see Sookie and Bill go through some changes. You will see Sookie and Eric go through some changes. Eric, I'm not sure how much they're going to keep his character in line, because there's one particular book. His personality does a 180.
Is he going to become happy and dance?
I don't even know if I would describe it as happy, but I don't want to spoil anything. I will say this, though. And Kat, you know this from before. I'm a huge reader. The books are hilarious. They're at the same time, they're dark, but they're funny, and they get a little bit crackfickish in some ways. They're hilarious. They're very fun to read.
I just like the I like things that track the vampires consistently, because, you know, I don't like my vampires to shimmer in daylight.
Oh, here we go.
So
why not?
Okay, I'll tell you this. Reading the Southern Vampire series is actually one of the reasons why I'm not so big on Twilight anymore.
What? Shut your mouth.
Lynn, she was all over Twilight.
Let me tell you.
No, and everybody who follows me, like on LiveJournal, they've kind of seen the progression, because there are just certain things as far as Stephanie Meyer's writing. You know, yes, it's a pretty, you know, it's an entertaining story, but just she wrote those books with teenagers in mind, so there's a lot of things that you see where the progression should go, but because of her beliefs and because of who she was catering her writing to, those things never happen.
You're talking about the Twilight
show. You don't have that problem in Southern Vampire series. There are some scenes that are described very, you know, sexually explicit. There are some that are a little more subdued, but you can still feel what's going on with the story. She expands on the supernatural world a lot, you know. Sookie.
Okay, wait. So kind of, if they're mildly following the books, what can we kind of expect for next season? Do you get a hint of that or no?
There is going to be some conflict.
Oh, really?
If with Bill and Sookie. There's one particular scene. And I'm trying not to spoil anything, because I don't know if they're going to put it in the show or not. There's one thing that kind of happens that should completely break Sookie's trust in Bill, but it doesn't, because she understands what he was going through at the time. If that's not being vague, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you are very vague.
Yeah,
you're not helping at all.
They are going to come to a crossroads in their relationship where they won't be together. They're not together for a while, because even in the books, I think they break up kind of sort of for good, you know, about halfway through. Sookie does have her time with Eric, but then she moves on from that as well.
Oh, so, damn.
Yeah. I don't know where Charlene Harris was getting the basis for some of these beings, but Sookie is like a guy magnet in this series. And it's from all different walks. I mean, she's got humans wanting her. She's got wares wanting her. She's got, you know, the vamps wanting her. And there's a little bit, there's a reason why she's so desirable, but you don't find that out all the way until about book 7. So
my prediction,
I have no idea how long
we're going to drag this out.
My prediction is she's an angel.
Oh.
Part angel.
Not quite, no.
No?
No.
It is something with wings, though.
Okay, no spoilers. Shut it down.
To touch on something Lynn said, I think one of the reasons I like it is it does give a different view of vampire culture. Like, when have we seen southern vampires?
You know,
they're always in big cities up north or in foreign countries, but we never see them in the deep south.
You know, Lestat.
Okay, besides... But she throws in some other ones, though, from all over the world.
That's true.
I think it's very good because it's very true to the vampire mythos.
Yeah.
Like silver, exploding vampires, living in nests. So all these are all strong, you know, vampire mythos. Like, as you were talking about Twilight before, she invented her own vampire mythos, and that's probably why it wasn't very well accepted, the glittering and whatever.
Ugh.
So it's very true to the vampire mythos, which is... another
they even
big
fly.
Following.
They even fly.
Yes.
Yeah, so they don't turn into bats, do they? Okay, we'll leave that alone.
No. No.
Oh, my. So anything that you really seriously besides hate Sookie, Lynn, that you really dislike or you want to see changed with the show or anything?
More cute guys, more hot vampires.
Come on, Jason Stackhouse. He hasn't had a good sex scene in a while.
Yeah, they really need to change. They need to change that for next season.
Well, and they can add some better-looking chicks, though.
Oh, that reminds me. I will say this. That whole Fellowship of the Sun and Jason joining, none of that happened in the book.
It was funny, though.
Oh.
None of that happened in the book. He was not a part of the Fellowship. He did not go through this little change. But then again, in the first season, the whole storyline with Amy and them kidnapping Eddie and everything, that was not a part of the books either. That was strictly for the show.
I like those additions.
Wasn't that really hard edge, that scene where the guy strapped on dynamite and went into the nest and blew up everyone? That was really hard edge.
My favorite vampire Stan.
And the man.
You're not in Eureka anymore.
But they killed Ed Quinn.
You made a pretty hot vampire, though.
I thought of you, Kat.
Huh? You did?
Yeah,
he was working that cowboy hat.
Wasn't he? And that belt buckle girl. Did you see that?
Okay. I'll look back.
Sorry. Okay. You, Hanako, anything, any change? Well, you already, you know, said about the books or whatever, but as far as the coming season, do you think they're going to fall flat? People are going to get tired of it? Or
I don't think so, because I like what he's been doing with the series as far as keeping, he's been kind of dividing the storylines between the different characters very well, which is something, like I said, the books are told all in Sookie's point of view, so you don't get to see, you know, the turmoil that Sam is going through or what Jason is going through. And I mean, Tara is literally not really mentioned in the series, but a few times. So just to see how he expanded on the secondary characters, I like that part of the show.
Do you think we're going to have to listen to her whine the whole next season? Because I really don't want that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Tara?
Yeah. Over eggs.
If they keep part of what happens to her in the next books, then we won't have that for long.
Okay.
Yeah. So because do you want a small spoiler?
No. Okay, Lynn. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, in if I'm not mistaken, the third or fourth book, she actually dates a vampire.
Who?
Tara.
Oh. I can see that. I can see
he's at, and the vampire in the books is actually kind of like it would be a, like a human sugar daddy. I mean, he basically takes her.
Damn.
So, you know, she just kind of falls into that trap of, you know, needing somebody to love her and take care of her and, you know, pretty much just spoil her. And that's what she gets into for about, you know, for a book or a book and a half. So I'm hoping that they will add that to the storyline because, yeah, she does whine a little too much. And I think that would kind of, I think that would kind of change her dynamic for a minute. And I need more Lafayette next season. Thanks.
Know. I do too.
I need more Lafayette storylines and less of Sam whining.
Sam Merlot, yeah.
Yes, he whines a lot. And
he's a little Luke Skywalker, back.
Yeah, and I would say I don't really care for Sam's character in the books
I
either.
I thought he was going to die. I really hoped.
Ah!
I was like, okay, good. We're going to get rid of
him. It's like, how many times have we seen him pack up to leave the restaurant?
I know, right? Every episode, this guy
every
is
episode,
packing up.
He's packing up to go, and he's never left.
Yeah.
And he's whining about being there and whining about, you know, someone's out to get him and whining over Suki not wanting him and whining over how Tara's treating him.
Kill me now.
Yeah,
that is actually something that's pretty consistent. Sam does not get over Suki, so he, yeah.
Jeez.
Poor thing.
What about Hoyt and, who's the other, the vampire? Jessica.
Well, see, here's the thing. Jessica is a complete show invention. That whole scene where she was created never happened in the books because in the books, Eric was the one who actually killed Long Shadow for attacking Suki. Yeah, which is why we were, you know, I was kind of.
She's probably the guy eye candy.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I also think she's also there to satisfy the people who want to see Suki turn. Because you always want to show what it's like to be a vampire, a new vampire. And I think that was also part of the reason of throwing her in there.
It was a
because they can't turn Suki, you know. Not
could
yet.
Be.
Got 9 more books.
Well, no, you know, what is Suki? At least we would. I don't know. Well, she's going down a dark path, you know, killing truckers for food.
Yeah, I want to see how that's going to play out. Because, honestly, like, Hoyt is one of those secondary characters in the book where the only time you hear him mentioned, really, is when he's with Jason Stackhouse because they are best friends.
Lynn, you got anything else? Any,
No.
No? Nothing? No more Eric? Nothing?
Got nothing. Okay, Eric's hot, and that's about it. That's all I got.
How'd it go?
I need them to do a shorter hiatus. I don't know if I can last until June.
Oh, yeah.
June of what, definitely. Next year?
Yeah, I think that's when they're going to start, because
that's worse than Doctor Who.
Well, that's the same time frame that it was from last year till this season. Last year, the season ended in September, and we had to wait till June. So I can only assume it's probably going to be something close to that.
Soon it'll be like The Sopranos, and we'll be waiting 18 months.
You shut your mouth, man.
Which is probably why I never watched it.
What about you, Anthony?
I like the show the way it is, but I would like to see more of how the vampire government works.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. I think we're going to see the king. I think I saw someone.
So there is a king.
They've cast someone to be the king. So
vampire hierarchy in this story. Oh yeah, it's gonna. If they stick to the books, it's gonna get crazy in the next few seasons.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of, I think there might be a lot of potential there to see what kind of ramifications the things that, you know, Bill and Eric are involved with, you know, with Suki, how all that's going to affect their whole hierarchy.
Oh,
I think that'll be interesting.
Is the selling of vampire blood a construct of the TV show, or is that in the book?
That is a construct of the TV show.
That was good, though.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because
I understand why the queen would be so worried about Bill finding out that she is the one who is supplying the vampire blood. Because, like, why does she care? She's queen. She can do whatever she wants.
Probably lose her position.
You know what? No, let me change it. Let me change it. Selling the is in the book, but as far as the detail, as far as Eric, you know, recruiting Lafayette to sell it, that was a construct of the show. Yeah. Let me correct myself.
But the queen, that's what I'm really
sure. That is a construct of the TV show.
Okay.
See, and I think that's going to affect the hierarchy. I think that we're going to see how these little things that's going on, you know, in her small little kingdom is going to affect a lot of people.
I think so, too, because Sophie Ann's personality in the show is really, really different from in the books. In the books, Sophie Ann was turned as a 12 or 14-year-old, so she has this eternal youth.
Oh.
And she's very kind of soft-spoken, and she's kind of quiet, but she's a powerful quiet. She's like the type where, you know, you look at her and you kind of get intimidated. So, I don't, you know, this spicy, funky Sophie Ann, I love seeing it in the show, but yeah. I'm not sure where they're going with it yet. So that I am interested in seeing what they do with it.
And, of course, we won't see it for a year. Okay, guys, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. It has been so much fun talking with you again, Lynn. Where can we find you? I know we can find you on Twitter or Facebook. You have a username.
Me?
Yeah.
I've withdrawn from the internet. I can only be found on Facebook.
She's a Facebooker. That's Lynn Griffin. And Hanako, where can we find you?
I am on Facebook and on Twitter at HMR Potter.
Okay. And Anthony?
BlackGeekdom.com and Twitter.com/Machant2.
Okay, and I am Fancy Fanbot Cat. See you later. See you next week. Bye. I want to do bad things with you.
Hanukkah, I need for you to stop, you know, showing off your intimate knowledge of all forms of literature.
Well, you know, why should I bring myself down? Why don't you bring yourself down?